Well, hey guys, welcome to Crosspoint. My name is Mark. If we haven't had the chance to meet, I'm one of the pastors here. And let's make some noise for At The Movie Season 8. How about that, right? To all of you who are watching online, thank you guys for tuning in. And listen, this is our third movie. We kicked it off with High Note. That was an amazing movie. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, check that out. Last week, we looked at Ford versus Ferrari, and I know it's obvious, right? The black pastor on staff would do a black movie, right? They would give me Just Mercy, right? But I mean, listen, if you are one of those folks who right now you're like, oh my God, here we go with the race conversation. We're dealing with race again, and they got Mark up again to talk about race. But I want you to know, disclaimer, right? Here's the thing. If you're uncomfortable right now, if your hands are already starting to get sweaty, if you feel yourself starting to turn a little red or get blush, or maybe you just feel like uncomfortable right now, listen, I want you to know that they are all good things. I'm glad that you feel that way because usually when you're uncomfortable, that's the only time that real progress and change happens. The progress and change happens when we are willing to be uncomfortable. And for me, I was very uncomfortable when I went to Orange Theory. Has anybody heard of Orange Theory? Yeah, Orange Theory is it's a workout, it's a fitness gym. And I initially thought that the Orange Theory, Eric, was actually the orange color was to get your mind off of the discomfort that you're feeling in Orange Theory. But that wasn't really the case. It was just a gym that had a cool color. But here's the thing. We all try to escape the discomfort. Right? We don't like to be uncomfortable. And I want you to know that this is not a teaching about race. It's not. Now, clearly, race has something to do with it. When we're dealing with Just Mercy, you can tell from the actors that there's something there. We're dealing with Alabama and the Jim Crow South, and even in the 80s, right? I mean, this was in the 80s when this trial took place. And, you know, but the reality is we won't be talking about race today. Not directly. But we will be talking about resilience. See, because that's really what's at the heart of Just Mercy. That this film is really gets to the heart of what does it take for us to be resilient. And here's the thing. In quarantine, during COVID-19, all of us have had to display some type of resilience. In fact, I want to get some crowd participation even right here. Just by show of hands, how many of you guys have felt like giving up during quarantine? Even you at home, maybe you're in the parking lot, go ahead, maybe honk your horn if you're watching in the parking lot right now. That's talking to Mark in the future. If that's the case, it's okay, right? I mean, because we've all been there. We felt like giving up. But here's a better question. And the better question is this. What do you do when you feel like giving up? I mean, because getting to that point in that place where you feel like giving up, I mean, that's human, that's natural. But here's the real question. What do you do when you feel like giving up? And see, this is the question that really challenges us through the entire film of Just Mercy. This is the fabric. This is the fiber of faith that pushes through the entire movie. This idea of resilience and this moments where we feel like giving up and throwing in the towel, and we really want to ask ourselves, you know, what do we do when we feel like giving up? Now listen, if you haven't had an opportunity to check out this film, I definitely want to encourage you to check it out. But listen, I'm going to tell you now, spoiler alert, I'm going to tell you what the movie is about. But you should still go check it out because I'm not going to give you too much details. But basically, Just Mercy is a story about a gentleman by the name of Brian Stevenson. He's a recent Harvard Law grad, and he heads down to Alabama to defend people who can't afford representation. And he gets down there in Alabama. One of his first cases is a guy by the name of Walter McMillan, who is sentenced in 1987 for the murder of an 18-year-old girl. And I want you to know that despite that they didn't have any evidence, they didn't have any real way to prove that he was the guy who committed this crime, and he was literally innocent. But nobody couldn't afford a lawyer. He couldn't afford representation. And Brian Stevenson, because that was his heart, that's what he wanted to come down and be a part of, he decided to take on this case. And the film basically follows this case and all of the barriers that Brian Stevenson and Walter, they come to face. I mean, in these barriers, they may seem like something that's unique to race or class or a time period in our country, but the reality is the same barriers that Brian and Walter face are the same barriers that you and I face on a daily basis. That there are at least three barriers that each and every one of us, all of us, we face these barriers no matter where you are on the spectrum. Doesn't matter, matter about your race, your class, or your political affiliation. Doesn't really matter who your parents are or where you live at, what your zip code might be. Doesn't matter what your economic status is. Guess what? All of us are faced with these three barriers. And I want you to know that these barriers is what makes this film so important. Because here's the thing, it's not about just black people. No, this is a film that's about all of us. It's about each and every one of us, because none of us are exempt from dealing with barriers or dealing with moments where we feel like giving up. And so I want to go through these three barriers because I think that these are important for us to name and to really understand. Because, see, here's the thing. When we understand what the barriers are, we have a better shot at actually overcoming those barriers and overcoming those things that attempt to, you know, kind of sift us out when we're dealing with trial and tribulation. And so the first barrier that all of us, whether you like it or not, we're faced with is systems. Right? I mean, the reality is, you know, we have some systems that literally present barriers to each and every one of us. Now, I don't know what system it is for you, but you know, it could be the legal system. It could be your job system. It could be maybe the unemployment system. Maybe it's the healthcare system, right? Maybe it's the political system. I don't know what your system is, but trust me, the system has a way of presenting a barrier to you. That maybe because of your age, or maybe because of the stage of life that you're in, or maybe you just have a boss that just doesn't like you and you don't understand why you can't get the promotion, right? Or maybe you just can't find work in the season because your job folded up or it closed during COVID, or maybe it was just the religious system. And if that's you, and if you're here, and if you're watching, or maybe even online, and you've given up, maybe you've given up because of the religious system. You felt like throwing in the towel. And here's the thing. I want you to know that you may have given up on the religious system, but if you're here and if you're watching online or even in the parking lot, I want you to know that you did not give up on God. See, because the religious system may have done something to you, or maybe the institution created something for you that you just felt like was a barrier and you wanted to give up. I get it. You thought that your healthcare coverage was good enough, but then when you got the bad news about from the doctor that you realized that it wouldn't cover the expenses and you just gave up on the healthcare system. And I know you went to college and you finished maybe the top of your class, but then the business, it folded up, and during quarantine, you're now struggling to figure out how to make ends meet. Maybe you've given up on the economic and the unemployment system. And maybe even the education system, right? I mean, trust me, I'm sure that there's some parents right now dealing with this virtual learning situation that are like, you know what? I'm done with the education system even now. Right? I mean, that's just a barrier. And this is one of the barriers when we deal with systems. Sometimes systems have a way of making us feel like we want to give up. But see, it's not just systems. See, because systems are kind of large institutions. These are large things. But see, then there's not just systems that do this, right? Sometimes it's just scenarios, right? Sometimes it's just scenarios. And scenarios are generally, this is the relational component, right? I mean, when we have relationships that are just not going the way that we expected them to go, and sometimes these scenarios make us really want to throw in the towel. I mean, some of us have a marriage scenario that makes us want to throw in the towel, right? Some of us have a parenting scenario that may make you want to throw in the towel and say, I'm giving up on my students. Maybe your friendship scenario is making you feel like you really don't want to have close friends anymore. Or maybe you had like a bad relationship in the past. Maybe a past scenario has prevented you from getting to where God wants you to be. In fact, that's a good place, because next week we're going to be looking at an amazing film where we talk about how to get past your past. See, because these scenarios, the relationships, something that happened with your daughter, or maybe something that happened with your brother some time ago, just makes you want to give up as a parent or as a sibling. Or maybe the reason why you haven't had that difficult conversation with your coworker or with your boss is because you know if you have it, you're just going to want to give up. Sometimes it's just the scenarios. It's not a big system, but it's the relationships that we find ourselves in that make us want to contemplate giving up. Maybe it's not the system, right? Maybe it's not a system for you. Maybe you haven't really encountered any scenarios that you find yourself in. But here's one that none of us can escape, because here's what I've learned. What I've learned is that, even if it's not a scenario and even if it's not a big system, I know one barrier that none of us can escape, and that is the barrier of yourself. Myself. That oftentimes the most difficult barrier is getting over ourselves. That sometimes we give up on ourselves. We give up on our own potential. We don't think that we have anything that's worth fighting for. And sometimes we just give up because we don't believe in ourselves. And trust me, what I want you to know is, see, sometimes we self-sabotage ourselves, right? I mean, there are times when we find ourselves and we push ourselves into bad situations, into some bad scenarios, right? I mean, we sometimes are our own worst enemy. I mean, all of us have done some things that are just like, that's bad, right? I mean, it's just like, I can't believe I made that mistake. I can't believe I'm in my way, right? But that's what happens. We begin to self-sabotage ourselves. And here's the thing. We become our biggest barrier. We become our biggest barrier. And when we become our biggest barrier, it's because, see, there's a tension that exists. There's a tension that exists because it's like, sometimes I know what I want to do and I believe in myself. But then there are other times where you're like, I really don't believe in myself. I don't know if I can overcome the hurt that I've experienced. I don't know if I can really forgive this person. I don't know if I should extend mercy. I don't know if I can give enough grace. I just want to give up. The hell with the marriage. The hell with the friendship. I don't need my family anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done with the education system. You know what? Politics is getting too messy and too divisive. I'm done with it. And sometimes it's just us in our own way. Because we struggle to get to a place where it's not other people. Maybe it's just us. I mean, this is why knowing your EQ is important. For those of you who were able to check that out last week, I mean, that's something that's important around here at Crosspoint, that you're aware of where you are, right? That you're aware of what you're able to do and what you're able to emotionally understand and unpack and deal with. You know, and it's always good for you to have somebody that's around, like a mentor or a coach. See, because here's the thing, you're going to need somebody to be able to call it out. Because sometimes we don't know when we're in our own way. We don't understand when we have barriers and when we create our own barriers. You know how you see that person whose life is going well, but then you start to see them make certain mistakes and they're not doing the things that they should be doing. And you're like, oh my God, they're going to end up down the path and they're self-sabotaging themselves. That's why it's important to have a mentor or a coach. In fact, that's why it's a good time for you all to jump into a small group, because see, you need people around you who can call you out and say, call you to the carpet and say, look, you know what? What you're doing, you're self-sabotaging yourself. You're in your own way. How about you? But I have somebody that I live with. She ends up being my wife, but she's the one who kind of checks me all the time, right? She lets me know and she calls me to the carpet. But see, you need that. You know, if you don't have that person that's around you that can say, hey, it's time for you to get your stuff together. It's time for you to get your stuff in order, right? Because if you're not able to do that, then you'll continue to want to give up. You'll continue to face things that will prevent you from being the best version of yourself. And see, and this tension is difficult, right? And in fact, there's a really cool story in the Gospel of Mark, and there's a story recorded in the Gospel of Mark, in the book of Mark. And you know, Mark is one of the biographers of Jesus, but Mark really is a guy who actually, he's writing down Peter's story. Peter was actually one of Jesus' followers that was with Jesus. He was with Jesus on a daily basis, and Mark was really just a recorder. He had spent a lot of time with Peter, and he heard Peter tell all these stories all the time as Peter was going through and he was ministering. And you know, Peter, by this time, he's like in jail or in prison. I don't know if he was on house arrest or if he was actually in a cell when he may have been telling these stories. But Mark wanted to know, like, hey, man, I need you to give me the nitty gritty. Give me the story so I can record them so that we can have them for generations to come. And really, Mark sits down and he's like, man, give me the details. I need to know, like, what Jesus was doing, how he was maneuvering, you know, how he was dealing with situations. And so the book of Mark is really a really good eyewitness account. account. It's one of the oldest gospels, and it has a lot of miracle stories. And one of the stories that he tells in his gospel is Peter tells him the story about this man who has a son who's sick. And actually, he's demon possessed. I mean, that's what the man says. And he's been demon possessed. And I know for some of you are like, I don't know about demons. Demons that really exist? Yes, they do. I've experienced them. You may not have, but they are. There's something that exists. We are spiritual beings, and there is spiritual warfare that happens. And so here's what happens. There's a guy who has a son who's demon possessed, and he takes him to the disciples, and the disciples, they're not able to exorcise the demon, not able to help to heal the son. And so he hears that Jesus is around, and so he decides to take him to Jesus. So I'm going to pick up where he takes him to Jesus, and he says this in Mark 9. He says, so they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And just to put a pin right there, I mean, even last week, I know Kurt mentioned this idea that in the Old Testament, they not even the Old Testament, Old and New, Pharisees and Sadducee Jews, I mean, they believed that a lot of people had diseases because of something that they had done. Or it could have been because of something that they were birthed with. And so this is a key component. And Mark is recording this because it's intentional to show that, hey, the boy father says, hey, he's had this since childhood. He says from childhood, which means that he didn't have anything to do with why he's in the condition that he's in. And so he said, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, if you can, he says, everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy father exclaims, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And I thought, wow. Because here's where we are. It's not that he doesn't have any belief, but he's saying, listen, there are parts of me that I just don't have enough. I don't have enough, and I really want to give up. And so it's my unbelief. It's the part of me that I struggle with. It's the tension of the unbelief that usually pulls me away. And what happens is he goes ahead and he says, listen, Jesus calls it out. He says, what do you mean if? And the man says, you know what? There's part of me that believes, there's another part of me that doesn't. And that is so critical, because if we're honest, there are days, there are moments right now, you probably have a crossroad where you feel like you can do it, but then you have this part of you that's like, no, you can't. And you should give up. And let me tell you, even in Just Mercy, when Brian brings the case back to Walter, Walter is even in this space where he's like, wait a minute, man, what do you mean you want to take my case? He's like, you know, you don't need to take my case, man. I'm done. They put me in a life sentence. I'll be here for the rest of my life. He had given up, even though he knew that he was innocent. He was innocent, but he stopped believing. He stopped having hope. And Brian comes and he says, no, I'm going to take the case and I'm going to fight for you. See, I want you to know, like, it's important to know that, see, what happened in Just Mercy was something that was unique. Because Walter didn't have to allow Brian to fight for him. And yet Brian persuaded him. He worked on him. He supported him. He did what was necessary. He went the extra mile to ensure that Walter knew that, hey, man, I have somebody who's an advocate, who's fighting for me. And here's the thing. What I love about this is that when Brian came to him, he let Walter know that you are worth fighting for. Here's the question. If you're considering giving up, if you felt like giving up, the key is to ensure that you find something worth fighting for. What is it that's worth fighting for? Maybe it's the hope. Maybe it's the future. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your marriage. What are you worth? What's worth fighting for? Maybe it's just a peace of mind. But let me tell you that it's worth fighting for, because your life matters. Your life mattered so much. It was worth so much. Because you were worth dying for. See, because Jesus, he came Because he felt like your life, my life, it was worth the sacrifice of his own. See, Jesus was fighting for us before we even decided or even knew who Jesus was. He decided a long time ago that he wanted to make sure that he was fighting for us, that we knew what it felt like for somebody to be advocating for us, for somebody to be helping us, for somebody to come alongside and get in the gap and help us out when we feel like giving up. So it's imperative that we find something that's worth fighting for, because, see, your life was worth dying for. And see, this is what I want you to know. Like, Just Mercy isn't just this movie that came out that was really cool. It's really good. You need to go check it out. But I want you to know that Just Mercy is actually just a parallel story for all of us. So I told you, it's not about race. It's about all of us. See, it's a parallel story about somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game, but they're willing to sacrifice and advocate on the behalf of somebody who could not fight for themselves. See, and that's why this is so important. See, because advocacy is fighting for hope. That's what advocacy is. See, advocacy is when you decide that I'm going to advocate until the other person who doesn't have hope begins to see hope, begins to believe again, begins to want to fight again, decides that they're not going to throw in the towel, that they will not give up, that they will continue to press toward the mark because their life is worth fighting for. It's about resilience. Of course you'll be knocked down. Of course you'll be made upset. Of course you'll be frustrated with the systems. Of course you may have some marital issues, but it's worth fighting for. Your students are worth fighting for. Your kids are worth fighting for. And it's a beautiful thing. See, because when we began to advocate and we begin fighting for hope, that's when God can begin to show the world how amazing he is. Because when we advocate for others, we're showing others how God has continuously advocated for us. Here's what's cool. That this week, you get an opportunity to challenge yourself. That if you felt like you wanted to give up or you wanted to throw in the towel, that if you decided that, you know, you wanted to give up on virtual learning in the education system, if you wanted to give up on talking to a brother or making amends in a relationship, see, here's the thing. You've got to be willing to extend some grace and some mercy to other people, because God continued to share grace and mercy with us. And that's what we're doing when we're advocating for other people. So as you think about next steps, I want you to know that the first next step for this week is that I want to challenge you to find something worth fighting for. What is that thing? What is that system that's worth fighting for, that you know, that you have hope that can change for the better? What's that relationship that's worth fighting for, that you know that at the end it'll be something that you can look back on and say, man, I'm so glad I fought for it? What kid are you thinking about, or what student do you have living in your house that you feel like has just been a struggle and a tug of war, and you feel like you deposited all of this good stuff in them and they've become of age and then at 18 and you're like, who is this student? I didn't raise you to be this way, but the student is worth fighting for. So this week, I want you to figure out what's worth fighting for. And then not only do I want you to figure out what's worth fighting for, I also want you this week to figure out who can I be an advocate for? Who can I be an advocate for? Who can you say, you know what? I know that community that's 8 miles away needs some help and needs some assistance, and I want to go and be an advocate for them. Or who do you know that might be in an abusive relationship, in a domestic violence situation, and you're like, you know what? I want to be an advocate for them. What household do you know has a student that's been struggling with virtual learning and trying to manage doing work online? And how can you be an advocate and step in the gap? Maybe you could be an advocate for those who are black and those who are brown, Those are the minorities in the community. How can you be an advocate? Because guess what? All of us have an advocate named Jesus. He's been fighting for us. And so all he wants to know is, since you were worth dying for, are you willing to fight for somebody else? I want to pray with you. Would you stand? Because this week, I mean, as you think about those things that are worth fighting for and the people that you can advocate, that you can be an advocate for, like, those are the people who faces are coming across your mind even now. And I just want to pray for each of us. God, we're so grateful that you thought that our lives were worth dying for. And God, we're going to be honest. We know that there are days when we feel like giving up, that we don't feel like fighting, that we've decided to throw in the towel, God, and we've said, you know what, we're done. But God, today, I hope that we've been reminded of the fact that you've been fighting for us for so long, that you've been standing in the gap for us for so long, that you've been advocating for us for so long, that now all you want to see is the reciprocity where we say thank you by fighting for somebody else. So God, help us to make that decision this week, that we can decide what's worth fighting for. And then God, help us to find somebody who we can be an advocate to. Because we're stronger together. And we can be resilient. And when we ask ourselves the question, what do we do when we feel like giving up? We can say, I know what I'm fighting for, and I have hope that things will get better. Amen.